Today's Hug Nation is a little wacky. Started with the hug, we had construction going on. Rather than try to edit it or fix it, I'm just gonna share it as is. Enjoy.
Anywho, I'm Halcyon, this is Hug Nation. As I was typing in just now the subject of the conversation, crap or cone, it auto-corrected me to crap or cum, which, now that I think about it, perhaps that would have been a much more memorable phrase for people to remember. But I digress. It is so nice to be here. It is, if I haven't said it already, I'm so grateful for this time once a week to recalibrate, to tune in to my highest self, to connect with people in the same path of growth and forgiveness and authenticity and integrity, and in the wacky world that we live in, so many messages and so much pressures to get pulled into definitions of success and definitions of what is important, or even worse, what we're lacking. And it becomes so loud, those voices are so loud, that we forget to remember our gratitude. We forget the miracle of being. We forget the absolute gift of relationship, of love, of consciousness, of connection to the people's names that I see flying by here, some who I've met and hugged, some who I've never physically met, some who I feel like I have connections with, even if there is never a physical connection. That's one of the points of Hug Nation, is that it began as a digital hug, a way to use the internet as a way to connect people in the concept of a hug. A hug being, as I see it, a place where two individuals become one, where the me fuses to the we and sinking into the oneness. But it doesn't scale in a physical way. Digitally, it can. So digitally, in this moment, we can all connect, feel connected to one another in a much more general sense than the two physical bodies, more in the many conscious entities that surrender their egos for a moment. So you know what? Let's break tradition. Let's go crazy and let's start the broadcast with the hug. Maybe you never stick around long enough for the hug. For 16 years, once a week, I have been doing a digital hug like this, a surrendering of the ego into the one. So let's do it. Let's start now. And then we'll get into the topics of the day. So wherever you are, grab yourself by the shoulders. And just taking a moment to be grateful for this body and all the gifts it gives you. The tastes, the smells, the sensations, the insane visuals as we get a front row seat to the unfolding of the universe. And then knowing that that physical experience is just one layer, just at the top. And deeper than that layer is the level of our thoughts and our personality and our beliefs, which are so exciting, that makes the game so drama-filled. But it's also just a layer of who we are. And when we have conflict with people, it's not our true selves that are in conflict. It is that layer of thought, that layer of perspective and story and narrative. But that's just another layer, right at the surface. And when we have a conflict with people, that's just the shells clack, clack, clacking against each other. So for in this moment, let's let go of our physical self. Let's let go of our personality and our thoughts. Let's sink into that deep, deep life, consciousness, love, and light that is shining through us. And when we let our thoughts fall away, then what shines through us is just pure divine light. And in this moment, let's be that pure light, just as it shines through everyone, connecting to all the people that are listening live, all the people that will listen to this archive, all the people that all those people have encountered in the last week, and all the people that those people love, and that all the people that those people love, and that those people love, and that those people love, until we're all connected, billions and billions of pure light shining through these pinholes, but all part of the one. And so for three breaths together, let's have that connection. Feel it as we inhale through the nose and hold it. two more. Last one and sigh it out. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the Love Warriors, happy Hug Nation. I don't know if that scared people off or made some people want to stay longer, but thank you for being here. Hug Nation began as that, as just a physical connection, and it never quite got any momentum until I started doing it with my grandfather, Caleb Shichels. And I should say the Reverend Caleb Shichels, who is such a gift to experience the way that the Jesus teachings influence his life and the way that he went beyond any one faith into a path of love. And so then he became a part of Hug Nation as I would interview him and share his gratitude. And then since 2007, when he passed, really has been an extension of those lessons and then integrating the additional lessons and that have made my life so fun and interesting and wacky. So I am midway on this journey as always, and I generally try to share some lesson from the week. I'm not sure why I'm doing so much preamble today. Catalina asking about my LED eyelashes. I did a live broadcast on Saturday night as I put on these LED eyelashes and I did it live, and as I was playing music and I just got a little really wacky, and I guess it got picked up on Facebook's, you know, popular streams or something like that, because before I knew it, there was like 300 people, most of which were like, "Woo, this is fun." And some people were just like, "Faggot, I'm going to kill you if I ever see you in DC." I was like, "Wee." Well, maybe I won't wear these eyelashes in DC and he won't recognize me. But that was a lot of fun. And it's always an interesting experience to be connected to people that I don't know and don't know me. I actually had an awareness about that this last week when I was walking. I like to go on beach walks, but pretty much every time I do it, I put on headphones and I just walk. And I sometimes will give a brief smile to people, but I'm kind of cowardly in the way that I interface with the world. My dear friend and campmate Cookie, he did a video last week about how he walks around the block a couple times a day and tries to just say hello to everyone he meets. He does not have headphones. He is open to the world, sharing his joy. Now, he is tattooed with a crazy mustache and he's like super fit as he's bodybuilding. And in his mind, he's like, "Hey, I'm a pretty normal guy." I'm thinking, I could see why people would be intimidated, just like I feel like they could be intimidated by me. But of course, the hypocrisy of what I'm saying right now is crazy. Of course, the path of love and openness is to greet someone, smile, say hello. I get caught up in the thought of, am I imposing myself on someone? Because of my hair, if I have my shirt off, I've got nipple rings. As a solo, weird-looking man, do I want to risk making a family or a mom with her kids, or God forbid, a woman or women on their own, do I want to impose this differentness on them? And there was a time in my life when I did. There was a time in my life when I was like, that's my mission. I'm going to dress as crazy as I can, fur pants, my hair in crazy pigtails, go downtown and like assault people, be like a mental tagger, and so people can't forget me and be like, whoa. And the point of that for me was a very Burning Man kind of radical self-expression kind of thing of like, wait, you thought this is as weird as you could be in the world? I'm going to prove that you can be this weird. And then that now opens up your ceiling this far that you can play with before you get to be as weird as me. And when I was doing that, though, I had some interesting experiences or reactions, because some people did react really negatively. And I always felt like, of course there are going to be people that are going to be reacting negatively. Because if I tell you that this is what you thought the reality was, this is the roof of acceptable behavior, and I say, actually, it's here, then you have two choices. You can recalibrate your whole concept of reality in the world, or you can say, fuck that guy, faggot. And it takes courage to say, wow, I guess there's more to the world. And humility to say, wow, I thought these were the rules, and maybe those aren't the rules. And it can be very, it can feel like you've wasted some of your time. And if you feel like you've been following the rules and that guy hasn't, and that's just not fair. So I softened over the years. People look at me now like, this is you softened? Yes, this is me softened. But, and so I was having that awareness this week of how I'm much more comfortable with consensual assault. You know, if somebody wants to come see me speak, I love that. And I drop in so deep, and it's such this loving connection with people that are there. I have much more difficulty when people are unknowingly witness to me being me, because there's not the consent. There's not they didn't choose this experience. And that's how I feel sometimes in the streets, you know, like all they wanted was to take their kids to the beach and not have them drown. And now they got to deal with this clown, this person who clearly doesn't follow the rules. What other rules don't they follow? I think that's maybe part of the fear as well. Jody's saying that it's as weird as you are, it's great thing. Boring is boring. And that's a big part of why from very long ago, I used to call myself a lifestyle artist, because of that idea that there's so much pressure to live according to certain ideals. Oh, this is going to be exciting in just a minute. Certain acceptable behaviors, you know, you go to Nordstrom's, you pick outfits off the mannequin, you listen to music that everyone else has listened to. There's a very narrow acceptable path. But when you stop listening to what you should do and start listening to what is true to you, you have no choice but to act artistically. And artistic living is more than painting on a canvas or sculpting on a pedestal or doing something in a gallery. It's simply listening to your truth and acting creatively. And that can be the way you listen, the way you parent, the way you body work, everything. Anywho. So I say all this as I often do in Hug Nation, where I'm speaking to myself. I'm trying to draw awareness to a place in my life where I feel like I could be more of a warrior. I could be more courageous. I could risk more in people's reaction. I know that I'm coming from a place of love. I know that if I look someone in the eye and smile at them, I do not have creepy intentions. So if I can do that in a way that, even if it makes someone uncomfortable, perhaps there's a way to do it artistically. Now, to change topics just briefly, you may or may not be able to hear, there is a grinding sound that just began. Lunch just ended for the workers who are doing re-sanding and covering of some decks in the complex that I live in. Which is one reason why I'm a little, the visual is a little different because I moved farther away from the outside. And there's a great Zen story where a master asks his students, says, if you are in your apartment and you sit down to meditate and the neighbor next door starts hammering and it's just so loud, what can you do? And the first student says, you can imagine that the noise is a sound in nature, a woodpecker, and just integrate it into your peaceful state. And the master goes, huh? And the next student says, you can go so centered in within that you become oblivious to all external sounds and simply become at peace and one. And the master goes, yeah. And the third student says, well, I would just go down the street to the park and meditate there. And the master's like, that's a really good idea. That being said, I am staying put. I am going to continue Hug Nation even as the grinding is happening. Speaking of grinding, who's going to wear a silly, ridiculous, like, sexy ketchup costume for Halloween? Isn't it weird how there's a female version of every costume that's sexy blank? Anyway, that's another topic. Welcome, everyone who's coming in to tune in. Hello, Kathleen and Ivan and Annette and Robert. Hello. Oh, I was going to mention, and I don't know if you noticed my shirt. It's probably backwards because of the way I'm broadcasting. Is this backwards? It says, float more, steer less. And on the back it says, love more, fear less. Which is also the title of a book of essays I wrote in 2011. But I made these, I kept seeing these ads for t-shirt companies. And I would go, that's a cool shirt. And it's like $30. And I'm like, I would pay that. And then I thought, you know what? What would it cost me to just get my own custom shirts made? And the answer is like, about $30. So I was like, well, shit. Then why don't I just make my own shirts? So that's what I did. So I started ordering my own shirts from a company that would make them for me. And people started asking, those are cool. I want one. So I'm still in beta, but if you go to lovemorefearless.com, you can see the store I've been working on. I didn't realize it was functional, but I got a sale this weekend. So I am actually a merchant. I am a professional entrepreneur. Ta-da! I'll take it. Thank you. I have two designs right now, just this one and then a long sleeve one, and the Love More is switched with the Float More, but I'm gonna have all sorts of varieties because the way that it's done, they make them on demand, so I don't have to keep inventory. So I've got a whole bunch of phrases and mantras that I've used over the years that I'm planning on putting on gear and apparel. If there's some Hug Nation thing that I've said over the years that you think would be a cool t-shirt, I'd love feedback. You know, like, I thought about a crapper cone shirt. I think that might be one that would invite conversation, which might be fun. I don't know how visual that one should be. You could do some kind of cool iconography. But then again, does anybody want a cartoon poop on their shirt? I don't know. Beth's saying, needs more pink. That is good feedback. As I stated a minute ago, I've gotten more subtle in my age, and so with the pink hair, I generally do not go as flamboyant with the rest of my attire, and I look for pink accents. Because, you know, I'm a grown-up now. I have used Cafe Press in the past, and I kind of, it worked for me for a while, but I've got a new company I'm working with that I'm super happy with. All right. Other things that I was going to mention. Okay. I got a very... I'm so excited to be here. Can you tell? I'm all flummoxed. Is that the right word? So, who was here? Anyone here last week when I was in the Hugmobile? And I was... I just had a fire in the Hugmobile, and then during the broadcast, I started to itch with poison oak, and I kind of lost my cool. So if you were in that broadcast or you were commenting, and I responded with less than compassion and patience, my apologies. I lost my cool a little bit. I got caught up in the story of, I was working so hard to do everything I was supposed to do and just had this fire and then as I started to like see a rash and itch, I was just like, you know, why is everything going wrong? And so as people were giving me advice, I was like, use this. I'm like, I don't have access to that. So anyway, so what happened was, that was an example of me losing my shit. and the fluctuations that happen in life. I don't think that people that live in the world avoid that. I think that if a teacher proposes or pretends that they live in a constant state of contentment and lack of frustration, then they're probably not living in the world, because that's the drama that we sign up for as a human being. So, but I wanted to revisit that breakdown that I had with the awareness that I had by the end of the day as things calmed down, and especially the next day, because the Hugmobile, I had a fire. Like, the battery caught on fire. I pulled over and then got underneath the car, and there was flames, you know, and I was able to put it out. But the problem actually started the night before, and I started thinking about, okay, that was a bummer that I had a fire, but what could have happened? If the fire started the night before, like before I went to bed, the Hugmobile would have entirely been engulfed, and I would have lost the Hugmobile, the most priceless thing I own, with my grandpa's ashes mixed into it. I would have lost all of Pink Heart's mobile pop-ups and pillows and stuff. I would have lost all my favorite clothes. I could have been, my mom, when I told her the story, she goes, well, and you could have died. I'm like, well, yeah, but whatever. So like, it was such, of all the ways that could have gone down, it was cone. And then the poison oak, like, I started doing all the treatments people were telling me to do. And then I went to the store and I got special poison oak ointment and all over the places that I had it. And the next day I was fine, which made me think maybe it wasn't even poison oak, but whatever it was, maybe it was it was battery acid or something else. But everything, for a moment I had the thought, everything's going wrong for me. But when I slowed down, I remembered, I lead a charmed life. I lead a charmed life. Maybe that would be a good t-shirt. That's always been one of my mantras. I lead a charmed life. So, I don't know, Mike, if you saw that. Maybe I hit stop before the last thing I said on the broadcast last week was, people kept saying, wash it with dish soap, wash it with dish soap. And I'm like, I don't have any dish soap. I don't have any dish soap. And then somebody typed in all caps, no, wash it with dish soap. And I'm like, stop yelling at me. I don't have any fucking dish soap. maybe I am allergic to purple. Although, all things considered, my color spectrum is pink, purple, blue, white. Like that, it's like my favorite. Well, I've actually been integrating that into my hair lately, because there's like an RGB spectrum of LEDs that I love that pattern color. So, and I, in Pink Heart Decor, for example, I say, look, you can venture into purple blue, you can venture into light pink white, no green, no orange, no yellow. I am a very, I believe in, if people have a desire to create something, then I want them to do so. But within the realm of Pink Heart, that's the one thing that I hold the line on, is our branding guidelines with our colors and our fonts. Let's see. All right. One other thing that I asked right before this broadcast, I said, is there anybody, I didn't know what I was going to talk about today, so I said, does anybody have something on their mind that they'd like to, that they would be interested in me sharing about or talking about? And Wendy Hiller asked if I could talk about finding joy in hard times. And that is, it's simple. Oh, wait, no, it's not. It's kind of the path of life, because if you're not careful, it's always hard times. So step one of that whole question is to be aware of the importance of your perspective and being aware of a gratitude practice and aware of the calibration of your baseline. Because if you don't actively recalibrate your baseline, it slips up. And I'll explain what I mean. Like, if you sleep in a comfortable bed every night your whole life, you don't wake up in the morning and go, man, I'm so lucky to have a comfortable bed and a roof over my head and warm blankets. You wake up in the morning and be like, in the middle of the night, I heard a car alarm. I gotta go to work now. And you focus on all the things that are worse than baseline. Because baseline includes all this incredible things that most people throughout history have never had. All the comforts. Like, one thing that I used to like to do is to go to like a grocery store, a big superstore, any grocery store actually, and just go and wander the aisles and see how many choices of food options you have. How many exotic spices from all over the world. I mean, if you read your history books, people would get in boats and head out to sea with the knowledge that some of their crew is probably going to die during this project. But they went in search of spices. And here, I, you know, get delivery from some awesome vegan restaurant, and I'm like, it was better last time. I did that last night. So, step one of this process is shaking off your definition of these are hard times and recalibrating your baseline to see what are the things that are amazing and miraculous. There are some things that are very hard to shake off. Physical imprisonment, physical pain, a relationship with a co-parent that is bad. These are things that are very hard to let go of because they are ever present and you do not have an option of walking away from them. But there's so often things that are amazing. Like whenever you have a ache, God, I'm sniffling, I need to, whenever you have an injury, I can hear the grinding, I'm not sure if you can hear it right now. An injury is so frustrating. It's crazy for me how quickly I get negative when I'm in pain or I can't do physical things. But if I can remember to be like, oh wow, that means 98% of the time, this 46-year-old thing works perfectly. Holy crap, that's amazing. And everything that is not broken is kind of a miracle. That is the perspective of shifting the baseline. That being said, okay, so even with that baseline recalibration, you slip into times when you go, these are hard times. And I have been extremely guilty, maybe that's not the word guilty, but I have been experiencing the world lately as hard times. I've been paying attention to political things. I've been trying to pay attention to cultural movements. I've been trying to check my privilege and listen and tune into experiences of oppression and harassment and corruption, and just trying to be aware of these things in the world that are really not my experience. If I turn off Facebook and the news, my experience is pretty blessed. But I've been trying to tune into those things and trying to experience them empathetically enough that I can be a responsible part of the one. You know, just because I don't experience that oppression or that harassment doesn't absolve me from my responsibility to raising the experience for all. At the same time, it's very difficult to taste that and then not have your palate just become overwhelmed. And so since, you know, like 6 months before the election, when I started to get a little bit more engaged in this surface level, dirty, worldly world, I've struggled many times, and if you're tuning in weekly, you probably have seen me going, man, that guy cries a lot. Side note, I just had my testosterone and things checked to see if I had like an estrogen spike, thinking like, maybe that's why I cry so often. And they're like, nope, your estrogen's actually pretty low. I'm like, damn it. I guess I'm just a very emotional person. So, yes, the world can feel hard. And in fact, last night, I kind of had an experience that I think will speak to this question of how do you find joy in hard times. I was speaking with a dear friend, and they were kind of walking through their options right now in terms of like where they can live and what they can afford. And then they started talking about some longer term decisions and choices and options. And they started some longer term, and then we started talking about, you know, the challenges of making a living and of surviving in a world that, if you, especially if you're someone that is in the service industry, you know, you can't scale your labor. It's very difficult to get ahead. And I started to fall into this kind of pain as I was trying to imagine these choices and the struggle. And I started to feel a little bit like I wanted to say, I don't know, I give up. You know, I don't, you're screwed. Because I was thinking like, there is no joy in these hard times. Like, you're doomed to struggle. And then I remembered that as I was experiencing this pain, as I was experiencing this suffering, that my reality in this moment was one of spending time with someone that I deeply care about, that we were comfortable, that we, our physical environment, everything that was our truth, everything that was reality, was perfect. And that when I have in my life surrendered to my truth, following the mantra that I'm going to get on a shirt, be present, have integrity, align with love, when I do that, everything works out. It may not work out so that I make the most money or get the big promotion, but it works out, and time eventually shows that to be true. So I tried to shift away from what plan can we make to absolve us from this potential difficulty, to, okay, we've now strategized enough to see all these things that could be challenges. Now, what decision do we need to make in this moment? What is, and once we were there, the next step was very clear. The next step was, the flow was very clear. And then you just have to trust. And you had to have faith. And I remembered, well, actually I saw in my Facebook feed something that came up that I tweeted years ago. I didn't remember, but it was something like, the best gift you can give someone is believing in their highest good, something like that. And that if you worry about someone, it's actually, people think worry is an expression of love, but worry is the opposite of love. Worry is the lack of faith in that person's ability, and the lack of faith in their path, the lack of faith that the struggles that they have will give them the challenges that they need to grow. And so last night, the best I could do was just to get present and make the next decision. And today I woke up and contacted them and said, you know, I want you to know that I believe in you and I have total faith. And whatever you choose to do, when you are following your truth, you will succeed. You will be what you need to be. You will add to the world what you're supposed to add to the world. I have absolute faith. So, a combination of to find your joy in hard times, reset your calibration of what baseline is, get present, and have faith. Because when you're present, you can tune in to all the things that are actually awesome, but your ego mind is like, yeah, I'm sure that's great, but what about this legislation that's going to go through? Like, yes, I'm not saying you don't ignore that forever, but if you're freaking out, table it, write a note saying, I'll revisit this later, and come back to like, oh my gosh, look how my body works. Woo! Oh my gosh, listen, this tastes so good. Look at these spices. Oh, paprika. So, I hope that helps, Wendy, if you are listening, or anyone that's listening. As always, I'm saying these things to myself. The greatest gift I ever gave to myself was promising and dedicating myself to this practice of speaking my truth publicly once a week. Because as I speak to you, I'm speaking to me. I'm speaking to the one. I'm speaking to the collective I of human consciousness that I'm experiencing through this wacky shell, this wacky organic fractional experience of reality. But man, what a trip it is to experience all of reality just one moment at a time. It's so fun and so scary and so surprising. Because that's exactly what we signed up for, coming to this plane of existence. Congratulations, what a great choice you made. And we're sharing it at the same time and somehow got connected so that we're sharing this moment. Yeah, So, all right, I'm gonna stop ranting and try to read comments a little more, and we can get a little bit more casual with our conversation. I don't know how long we've been talking. Oh my gosh, it's almost 2 o'clock. Oh, we started late though, right? Yeah, because of my fault, which I said I was gonna tell you why. I had a guest who cooked me this amazing breakfast. And I convinced her that we should have dessert before breakfast. I'm very convincing. And after we enjoyed our dessert, I still wanted to give time to this amazing breakfast that she prepared. So I appreciate the patience. I definitely honor and respect this this commitment and that of my word of being here, but I also felt like I could compromise and honor the expression of culinary love that was done for me this morning, especially in light of the dessert and the magic of those moments. So, is that too much information? I don't know. But, thank you, Azul. Joy is our choice in all situations, all life experiences, good, bad, ugly, right, wrong. All is in perfection and in flow. Universe has got our back. Well, you know the word pronoia, which is a great book by Rob Bresny, but is also just a word that is the opposite of paranoia, the belief that the universe is conspiring in your favor. And it can be very easy to forget that or lose that faith. For example, a week ago when I had the fire and the itching and I was like, everything's going wrong right now. I said like, is Mercury in fuck John grade? That was my little play on retrograde, get it? But the reality is everything, once I remembered that the pronoia perspective, everything went perfect. Everything, minor obstacles, but minor obstacles are what life is. Recently there have been tragedies, like epic tragedies that have happened in our world, in our country. And without discounting the severity of pain that people experienced through, for example, the Vegas shooting, one gift that I personally received in light of the monstrosity of suffering, one light in it was that I personally was having a very tough week, and I was creating a list in my head of all the challenges that I was having and all the reasons why things just were so difficult for me, not going right. And then I got slapped in the face with an example of what a real problem is. And in that perspective, in that recalibration of baseline, I was like, oh, no. There's certain things that are truly tragic and painful. And everything else is just the ride. Everything else, all the obstacles, all the struggles. I've been working on designing some new websites. And the learning curve with WordPress and stuff, sometimes it's such a pain. And I go through this process of like, God, and then I'll figure something out and be like, yes! And then I'll be like, yes! And it's like, when I'm struggling, it just feels, I mean, if I could take a step back and be like, this is, why, it doesn't really matter, especially in the context of life or death. But the experience of being a human is one of having obstacles and either overcoming them or working through them or learning from them. Everything is either an adventure or a lesson or both. Okay, I think I've been ranting long enough. I am so grateful for the opportunity to have this heart recalibration. That's what it's all about, this now moment. Whether it is live or archive, the moment of awareness, of connection, the remembering of the oneness. I love you. Please subscribe to the Hug Nation YouTube channel. Follow me on Facebook. You can check out Halcyon Pink on Instagram, or just listen to the wind. If you enjoy this, share it with a friend, an open-hearted person who might be part of our wonderful collective Hug Nation family.